Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's Stans and Fitz back for another week.
Back in your ear holes.
Back in your, yes. In your ear holes. That was a weird thing to say.
So hey.
We started the podcast with a weird thing. If that's the last weird thing that we say today.
It won't be.
I would be incredibly surprised.
Yep.
Like you said, it won't be. But it's game week. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I think you put in your mailbag, it's been like 250 days since Iowa State last played a football game.
Yep.
By the way, everybody should go read Fitzy's mailbag.
Yeah, I guess by the time people listen to this, it should be out. So
I was going to say that we should save like two questions out of all of them that you get
and
use
them
for the podcast.
That's actually a really good idea. We should do that next week.
Because I was looking at the forums and there were some questions on there that probably would have been better addressed on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I've done those mailbags before. And sometimes I read the questions and it's like, I know I could answer that question, but I don't know how to do it in the written word form and do it effectively.
Yeah. And some of those are naturally better being debated too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like having two viewpoints at least.
I bet I could find one. I'll do it during a break.
Okay.
We'll do
that. That's a good idea.
So another thing I'll tell everybody is that we are going to take two breaks during this podcast. We have a Gershman mortgage ad that is going to start running in the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. And the fact that we usually go like 70 minutes tells me that we probably can just do two breaks in there.
Yeah. People can obviously get it broken up, get our content a little bit evenly distributed.
Yeah. And if you don't like it, tough.
Yep.
Give money to Patreon.
There you go.
All right. The kickoff party on Saturday obviously was
a smashing success.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was a smashing success. I can safely say I've never been involved in anything that required, never been involved in a CF party that required other people to go to a different bar.
That was me.
Oh, it was?
I was there for...
Why didn't you text me?
Well, I was with my wife and my parents were also there too. So we were kind of in a group. And if I had been solo, I would have just walked up to where you and Chris and all you guys were in the middle there. But
yeah, you should have just sent me a text message and said, hey, I'm here. Can we come hang out with you guys?
Oh yeah, I definitely would have, but it was awesome though. It was packed wall to wall.
Yeah, it was packed wall to wall. Raised more than $10,000 for the for Chief's family, which was really cool. Everybody that came out were really happy that you were able to make it, and hope that you had a great time as well. I know I had a good time. So does this mean you didn't get to try Firmly Entrenched?
I did not. So for our official Stans and Fitz opinion, we're going to go with whatever you thought.
I thought it was good. I was actually surprised by how easy drinking it was.
Mm.
It honestly looked like a, I don't know.
It was very red, wasn't it?
Yeah, it looked like a strawberry daiquiri like that had melted or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was delicious. I don't know. It tasted really good.
Because it was an IPA, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It sucks that the legal process will keep us from ever being able to do anything with it ever again. But
yeah.
Sometimes you get a cease and desist, and sometimes you just have to, you have to stop what you're doing.
That's right. And I thought it was kind of funny because they had the cease and desist based on the word entrenched, correct?
Yeah. Which the brewery that sent it, they actually do send, like they do own the
copyright or
the
whatever
copyright
it is
for that word.
Yeah.
I'm not like, I'm obviously not well versed on trademark law. I went to journalism school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to pretend to have been the greatest student even at that.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit weird to me that companies can trademark just a word.
Yeah, I agree. I guess in the context of any beer made, they can trademark that word, but at the same time it's still a little odd because I think entrenched is kind of like a word that's could be widely used and not like necessarily a big descriptor word.
Yeah, it seems like it would be really hard to ever think of the name of a beer.
Yeah.
Because
there's so many possibilities, but there's probably also so many words that are trademarked by themselves too.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And excuse me. It was kind of funny. Somebody put on the forum something like, the beer is actually perfectly named because it arrived with such great fanfare and then it was gone in an instant.
Exactly. It honestly was perfect.
Yeah. Which I didn't even think about it like that. But then once I saw that, I was like, damn.
The perfect encapsulation for the Gene Chizik era.
Right. Someone knew something when, I mean, I guess Charter, he was the one who came up with the name.
Oh, really?
When he came up with that name, mm-hmm. then he must have known something. He must know someone at that brewery or something. This was all a ploy.
Yeah, he must have.
Yeah.
That would be a Charter-esque thing to do.
But when Chris got up there and said, this beer literally needs to be gone today because we can't do anything with it ever again.
Cyclone fans answered the call.
Oh, they answered the call. That beer is gone.
Yeah.
It's gone for forever.
I'm pretty sure I also read on the forums that someone called Barntown at like 7 and asked if there was any left. And they, at that point, they said no.
Yeah. It was all gone. It was gone. It was probably close to gone by the time that I went home.
Mm.
And that was, I mean,
after, impressive.
It was long, not that long after the thing had been tapped, but yep. It was a really fun day. Man, I feel bad that you didn't get to go.
No, I showed up at 2:50 thinking, oh, hey, it's pretty close to start time, but
did you not get the staff email that said be there at 1:45 or 1:30?
I don't think so. So I'm
all right. Well, then we're gonna put this squarely on the shoulders of Chris Williams. Then.
I'm a lowly contributor, so I don't get included in the staff emails apparently. But no, it's all good because my family and I, we went over to Global Brew and had...
No, don't say the name of the
half
of another brewery.
Okay, fine. You can blur it out if you want.
I'm going to bleep it out.
Process.
Yeah, I'm going to bleep it out.
There you go. But yeah, obviously, it was awesome just even seeing how many Cyclone fans were there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, see, this is what tells me you would have got in. Would we have been breaking fire code? Maybe. I don't know much about fire codes. Hyde told me that they're kind of BS.
Yeah.
But my friend went out to his car to get something out of it, and there was like it was literally on a it was like it was at the bar in Ames or something like that. Like three people go out, three people can go in.
Yeah.
One person goes out, one person can go in.
Yeah.
My friend went out and they let a person in, and then he tried to come back.
And he couldn't get in?
No, and the guy he was like, I literally just left.
Yeah.
And the guy kind of looked at him. He's like, I'm not really supposed to do this, but all right, you can go.
Oh, man.
So he let him back in.
But it sounds like for next year, Barntown is obviously anticipating as good of a turnout next year, so they should be a little bit more better equipped.
Yeah. See, and that's what we want to do more of these beers. The basketball one is going to be called Transfer Brew.
I saw that today.
That's
a good name. Good one.
That's the plan for right now. Which I think is good because I think it'll give Transfer U like another life, you know?
Yeah.
And really, I don't know. Me and Chris always planned on we were going to do a podcast and just talk about the process of making Transfer U.
Hmm.
And that is like, that's something that I think is going to be, when we look back on this, you know, not saying that Chris and I are leaving or anything like this, but if I was to leave and I look back at all of this stuff and it's like, what are the coolest things that we did while I was here? That would definitely be one of them,
mm-hmm.
you know? And the feedback that we've gotten on it, I think, reflects that. But
so it'll
be good just to give it another opportunity for us to push that and make it, like, relevant for a little bit.
So rough estimation off the top of your head, how many hours of interviews and working behind the scenes did you do in total to make even just the podcasts that have been out so far?
Well, on my end, I really only did one interview. Mm. I did was like part of a couple other ones where I was there and it was just like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
but like how many like for you plus like everyone else involved?
Oh yeah, no, I'm so then Chris did all the rest of them. I mean, he talked to has Jeff Goodman even been in it yet?
I'll tell you a little secret. I haven't listened to Transfer U Part 3 yet.
Oh no, okay. I don't think he's in Part 3. His part would have mainly been in Part 4.
Okay.
But will be in Part 4 whenever it gets done. But I can't even remember back to Transfer U Part 1. That was so long ago now. But
okay.
But I know that, okay, so
I feel like he was in
he
part
was in
one.
It. I think yeah. he was in it. But Chris talked to Jeff Goodman and Fred, Matt Abdelmassey, TJ, who else? I mean, obviously Royce, because that part just came from the podcast with Royce. Mm-hmm. Most of those other people. I talked to Chris Babb.
Yep.
And my interview with Chris Babb was done on a Friday afternoon Iowa time. And it was like, I don't know, it was like middle afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 2 a.m. in Russia where Chris Babb was.
Really?
He talked to me for an hour and a half.
That's awesome.
And it was almost like I went in there thinking, because most of the other interviews were really probably the longest one might have been 30 or 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that one ended up being super, super long. It was so long that I didn't even use all of it, because there was just a bunch of, I mean, me and him were kind of just, you know, we were just
shooting the crap.
Yeah, we were just shooting the bull a little bit. But it got done. I was like, dude, I'm sorry that this took so long. I didn't anticipate this.
Yeah.
He was like, no, it's all good. We got going. He's like, I don't care.
That's
he's
awesome.
Like, if I was done, he's like, you would have known that I was done. I would have stopped talking.
From everything you hear, Chris Babb's an awesome guy.
So
that plays up to that.
Yeah, Chris Babb's awesome. But, yeah, there's more pieces of this that I think will, you know, come out over time. But so that there was all that stuff, which I would say interviewing people probably somewhere in the range of like 7 to 10 hours.
Yep.
Just interviews.
Sounds about right.
And then the editing process, I did a lot of the cutting stuff up. Like, I went in every time that we would do an interview, I would cut everything out. I would cut out the questions, and then I would do all that stuff, and I would log it.
Mm.
And that would probably take, you know, 25 or 30 minutes just for like one of them.
Mm.
And so, I don't know, that's probably about the same amount of time just doing that.
Yeah.
I was pulling audio out of YouTube videos just for different things, like when Royce got drafted.
Yeah.
Trying to find audio from all that kind of stuff.
So stuff like that can get pretty tedious after a while too.
Yeah, and it's just finding the right video that has good enough audio to use it in that kind of a thing.
Mm.
And then them actually putting it together was probably, I mean, I would think for each episode it was probably a 2 to 4 hour process.
Mm.
Putting the music in and doing all that different kind of stuff, mixing all the audio and making it all evenly, you
yep.
know, which that's where Ross came in. And Ross is really good at that stuff, Ross Peterson.
Yeah.
And so we obviously have to thank him for doing all that stuff. But I don't know. I mean, adding up all those out, I mean, I would say if it was less than 50, I would be surprised. I mean, at the end of the day, when
yep.
we're all said and done with it.
And so you mentioned Transfer U Part 4 is coming out soon. Is it a five-part series?
I think that don't quote me on saying
okay.
that Transfer U Part 4 is coming soon.
Okay.
I know that there is...
It's coming.
There is a Part 4 that is intended to be released. I don't know when it will be.
Okay.
That's not...
Obviously, it's going to...
My part of that thing is done.
It might be a little bit more on the back burner now that we're actually into the season, too.
Yeah, yeah. I know that eventually you guys will get Transfer U Part 4. That seems like maybe a bi-week thing that Chris
That's
would
probably
have
a really good idea, actually.
Have
yeah.
time to put that together. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing that when we started doing it, we thought that it could be good. We knew that it was going to be a lot of work. And... We actually kind of planned on doing a lot more than what we ended up doing, but it was so much, or not a lot more. We were going to try and tackle more stories than just the one, but then the one ended up being so much work that it was hard for us to put more than one.
Yeah.
So now eventually we're going to have more of them. There will be more of these stories. I don't think all of them will be as tedious as what this one was.
Yeah.
And there won't probably be as many players involved.
Well, there's so much depth to this story, so it
yeah.
works out well.
Well, there's just so many people to talk to, you know, and
yep.
we knew that we could get so many of those people that it made it fun. But yeah, like I said, Transfer U Part 4 will come eventually. But getting back to where we got to this conversation.
Talked about Transfer Brew.
Transfer Brew. It excites me because I think that it will give that podcast life again
mm.
for a short period of time. And that's the kind of thing that we feel really good about, and we feel like it showcases what we can do, like mm-hmm. as a company and as a group,
yeah.
as a staff.
You got to get, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here. You got to get Fred Hoiberg, picture with him drinking some Transfer Brew.
That sounds like a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Put that on the to-do list here. We're in the Cycle Fanatic office. You can put it up there on the board or something.
Yeah. Well, for one, Transfer Brew like actually needs to become a thing.
And, yeah.
Actually,
but assuming it will, and it yeah. will be a thing eventually.
But yeah, that's some inside baseball stuff on what's going on at Cycle and Fnac for you guys. But
that's cool.
But yeah, we think we are hopeful that, you know, if we would submit it to some different things,
mm-hmm.
it would be considered for maybe some awards or something like that
yep.
for multimedia. But changing gears, shifting gears. Moral of the story, kickoff party was a good time. It was awesome. I'm sorry you didn't make it.
It's all good.
Everybody else that did get to come can rub it in Fitzy's face on Twitter. big announcement today from Jamie Pollard prior to Matt Campbell's press conference. We are going to talk about football here in a few minutes. I will
believe it or not
say that as well. The NBA is coming to Hilton Coliseum.
I know. this is probably like clear down on my list of things that I was thinking today's special announcement would be.
The crazy thing is I heard a rumor about this like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden that press release came across Twitter and I was like, oh damn, that must be what this is about.
Yeah.
So,
when you heard the rumor, did you know which teams would be involved, or did you just hear like NBA game in Hilton?
No, I knew which teams would be involved. I knew that it would be at Hilton. I didn't know what day. I had a general idea of what the time frame was going to be, but it was just like, you just kind of hear things, you know, from just around when things just fall off the grapevine every once in a while.
Yep.
And I heard about this. I got really excited about it, obviously.
As one of the eight NBA fans in Iowa, yes.
Okay, hold up 1 second.
Hey, that's the thing.
There's at least 20 of us. I would venture to push it to 25 or 30, honestly.
Being bold with that statement
That we're growing. The numbers are growing. Could we still probably fit every NBA, like really real NBA fan in Iowa into this office?
Yes.
Probably. But... we're growing. Our numbers are growing. And eventually, we're hoping that we would have to move to the other conference room.
Which is marginally bigger.
Marginally bigger. I think it's going to be really cool. Timberwolves and Bucks coming to play.
They got some star power names there. You got the Greek Freak. Yeah.
My suggestion for the podcast was going to be. We could talk about some of the possible storylines that would accompany this game. And I think the one that first came to mind for me was obviously Karl Anthony Towns and Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak.
That's a big, big matchup.
Coming here, two guys that I said on the CF Rundown are at least perennial all-stars. I think that the Greek Freak is going to be a guy who is in the MVP conversation every year for the near future. You know, in the coming years in the NBA, is going to be one of the best players in the league. So getting an opportunity to see them at a time when they're still relatively young in their professional basketball careers, I think that's going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. The second one that came to my mind, Jimmy Butler will finally get an opportunity to play at Hilton Coliseum.
So, okay, you say that. Iowa State was recruiting Jimmy Butler, weren't they?
He came on an official visit and was going to commit to Iowa State.
Yes.
And then Wes Johnson transferred. And Wes Johnson hosted him on his visit and was telling him
all these great things about Iowa State.
Saying that we think about the kind of duo that we could be on the wing. You know, we can compete for a national championship, all this different kind of stuff. And then the day after Jimmy left his visit, Wes transferred.
Yeah.
And went to Syracuse.
Man, hindsight's 20/20 there. But like even back then though, Jimmy Butler wasn't that highly rated of a recruit, was he?
No.
He was like a 3-star, I want to say.
And honestly, I don't even think that he was really that. I mean, he was a good player at Marquette.
Yeah, he wasn't like as good as he is now, obviously.
He's much more well regarded than he was ever regarded at any other stop in basketball. Yep. At least from what I can remember. I don't remember Jimmy's college career that well.
I don't either.
I mean, I know Marquette was good those years with Buzz Williams, but they weren't crazy good or anything like that. All right, another one. Tibbs coming to the home of the coach that the Bulls basically fired him to hire.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what was happening, when Tibbs got fired, there was only one guy that was going to end up with that job.
Yeah.
And that was Fred Hoiberg.
So the question is, if Tibbs comes to the house that Fred Hoiberg built, what will he do in retaliation for Fred taking his job? Is he going to urinate all over the walls in the locker room? Or
I was going to say, we might. It's like if there's a picture of Fred anywhere, he just is like defacing it.
Yeah, that's right. Like he comes with a Sharpie and just puts a big X across Fred Hoiberg's face every time he sees it.
So we walk back down the tunnel and there's like devil horns and his teeth are like scribbled out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely putting some graffiti in the bathroom stalls.
Right. Well, we'll be able to hear, everybody will be able to hear Tibbs yelling ice from like Indianola. So if you've ever been to a Timberwolves game at the United Center, I sat in the Target Center. I sat in like the third deck and you could still hear him yelling.
Really?
So everyone will be able to hear Tom Thibodeau. I can promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Another one. Andrew Wiggins is coming back to Hilton Coliseum.
Yep. He went for 17-19 when he played there, didn't he?
Did you look that up?
I'm pretty sure I looked it up. He had a monster game. Yeah.
Like 17 points and 19 boards?
Yes.
Wow. I don't remember that game as much for Wiggins.
No, it was Joel Embiid.
I was going to say, I remember that game for Embiid because I remember sitting on the floor, and I've told this story a bunch of times, that when he was going through warmups, and anybody that's ever been at the game when Kansas is playing, the routine that they go through is so regimented, and it's been the same every single year. It's like a machine. You understand why that program is the way that it is.
Yeah.
But the way that he went through those warmups is unlike anything that I've ever seen or ever seen since from anybody that's been to Hilton Coliseum. He would throw the ball through the hoop, and it sounded like a bomb going off. Like
really?
It almost felt like he made the floor shake. That dude was literally a giant.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, he's like 6'11". Mm-hmm. So he's 4 inches taller than me, which is still a pretty sizable gap. But I've never looked like stood near a human and just looked up and been like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This dude is
massive.
Is like unbelievable.
Yeah. And I remember being in the stands that game and watching. That was one of the very few games of George Niang's career
where he played poorly.
He played poorly and he looked completely overmatched in the post.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was because of Joel Embiid.
And that was just a year where they had no answer for him, you know? And I mean, that was even when Melvin was there.
Yeah.
There was no one that they could put out on the court that was going to guard him.
Yeah. That was the DeAndre Kane team which was an awesome team, but they had no size down low. It was like Percy Gibson and, I don't think Daniel Adozie was on that team yet.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the game. So remember they started out, whatever it was, like 16-0. And then they went to Oklahoma and lost on Saturday, and Kane hurt his ankle. That was the game. That was the game with the fake Randy Peterson Twitter account. Do you remember that?
Well, I don't remember this.
Yes. The question is, DeAndre Kane going to play in the game?
Really?
Is he going to play against Kansas on Big Monday? And I think pretty much the whole time, everybody within the program knew he was going to play. And it was just kind of like, why? He made it way. It was like Paul Pierce getting rolled out in the wheelchair, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of that one of those situations where they're like carrying him off the court at Oklahoma.
Okay.
But I just remember seeing the Pandy Reederson Twitter account tweeting out that he was going to play.
Oh, really?
Stuff, yeah. Which it was true.
Yeah.
Or it might have tweeted out he wasn't going to play. I can't remember. But I just remember it was fake Randy Pete.
That was, I mean,
Randy Pete's.
Yeah, Pandy Reederson is one of the better parody ISU media accounts, for sure.
That one got shut down real quick, though.
Did it?
Yeah, that was...
I think Kershore was up for a few months, and it was pumping out some quality content.
Okay, well, I know that there were people trying to get it shut down.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Namely, the person that it was...
mimicking?
That it was mimicking, at least if I remember the story correctly.
Yeah. But,
yeah, so that's another one that I thought of. Can you think of any more?
I was going to say Wiggins, and you brought that up last. I don't think so. I'm not as big into the NBA as you, so.
No. Yeah, I can't think of anything else. I think that's about it. I would have to look at the...
Oh, another one. Kind of a weak one. For a while, ISU recruited Thon Maker, and he's on the Bucks now. So, finally, Thon Maker's going to be able to play in Hilton.
Did he come on an official visit to Iowa State?
He might have, I think. But I think after a while, they cooled on him.
Yeah.
When he started getting, I think he was academically questionable for a while.
Well, I mean, it also, weren't we not really even sure that he actually was like 18?
That's true too.
Yeah, I think there
was. He could have been like 25 or something like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of questions about Thon Maker that I think made it so that he never went and played college basketball.
That's right.
But yeah, regardless, I think that's going to be really fun. I think that it's going to be a cool experience. I've said that a lot on the rundown.
Tickets for as cheap as $15.
Tuesday. Start going on sale.
Yep.
I think that it's going to be a pretty cool experience to see those guys playing at Hilton Coliseum.
Yep.
All right, let's do this. Let's talk football.
Shifting gears.
You've got some over-unders for us for Iowa State football.
I figured we'd do something regarding Iowa State football on this podcast for game week. So, over-unders.
Actually, first.
Okay, never mind.
We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And then we'll be right back on Stands and Fits on the Cycle Fanatic Podcast.
Hello, Fanatics.
Network.
This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6000. 6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatic sent you.
All right, welcome back. Time to talk football.
All right.
Hit me.
First, over-under. Over-under, 2.5 passing touchdowns for Kyle Kemp against South Dakota State.
Man, this is a lot of dead air. Sorry. I'm trying to think. So I'll go with...
It must be... I set these all myself.
Yeah,
so
no,
you're
going to
tell
me
if these are stupid.
Yeah, these are not created by Vegas. I think that that's probably pretty fair. Because I could definitely see him throwing for two. And I could see him throwing for three.
Mm-hmm.
That's... Yeah. When's the last time that an Iowa State quarterback threw three touchdowns in a game? I guess he did against Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I will go with over.
Okay.
So that's 21 points. How many points do we think they're going to score?
That's a good question. I haven't really thought about my own personal prediction for the game yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'll go with the over. Do you go with the over?
I think he's going to throw two.
Okay.
And I think Zeb Nolan's going to get a little bit of time at the end of the game.
Okay, that's fair. Oh, yeah, I didn't even take that into consideration.
Mm.
All right, yeah, I'll go with two as well. All right, okay. So I'm going with the under.
Okay, so we're both going under there. Our next one, over-under, 100 rushing yards for David Montgomery.
David only carried the ball, if I remember correctly, he carried the ball 14 times against Northern Iowa last year.
But I also feel like, I mean, we knew David Montgomery was good going into last year, but we didn't know how good he was.
Yeah.
So, and I wonder if this year we're going to purposely force feed him a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely understand that, especially if they get on a little bit of a roll. I feel like they couldn't run the ball hardly at all in that game last year. I'm looking back at what the rushing stats
are. The other thing that I would also take into account, though, is that
yards.
They are going to have more depth behind Montgomery, that they might give him a few more breathers against South Dakota State, too.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm thinking. But at the same time...
If he breaks loose for a couple big runs, and it's, you know, it's gonna come fast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At the same time, I feel like he very easily could run for. He ran for two touchdowns and 82 yards against Northern Iowa last year.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll say over 100 yards for Dave Montgomery.
I was also going to go with over 100 yards.
Over 100 yards. There we go. Got that one.
I think Iowa State in general will have a better day on the ground than they will through the air.
Yeah, like I said, 134 yards rushing last year against Northern Iowa.
That seems so low.
Yeah, that. Like I said, they did not block very well.
And I feel like,
especially,
you know,
early in the season.
There's been a lot of talk about how the line wasn't good in general last year, and that was obviously the first game of a not very good line.
Yeah.
So
I think that it will be better. I will say over 150 yards rushing for Iowa State.
As a team?
As a team.
I like it. Okay, next one. Over under, 5.5 receptions for Hakeem Butler.
What's Hakeem's career high for receptions?
I looked. Last year it was 7.
Last year it was 7.
And I believe he only got that once.
Okay.
You can double check, though.
I'm looking, yeah. He had 7 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown against Northern Iowa. Caught 5 against Iowa.
I think he had 5 maybe once or twice, too.
Yeah.
But my thinking here for setting this a little bit high is that, again, Alan Lazard's gone, so you think he's going to be the primary receiver?
Uh-huh. 5.5. I'll go over.
Okay.
They've got to spread. I mean, they're obviously going to spread the ball around quite a bit. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go over on that one.
For me, I'm going to go under on this one. I think he's going to end up with 4 or 5.
4 or 5?
Yep. But I do think he'll haul in, like, 1 touchdown bad.
Yeah.
So...
I'm still gonna rock with it. I'm rocking with the over on this one. I think they're gonna throw the ball to Hakeem.
Sounds good. All right. Next one. Over under, 2.5 receptions total for Iowa State tight ends.
I will never go over on 2.5 receptions for Iowa State's tight ends until I see them catch more than like 3 passes in an entire season.
This is one I was debating on. I believe Chase Allen only had like what 4 receptions total last year.
I can tell you. He had 4 receptions.
Yeah. So, and again, the most he ever had in a game was 1.
Yeah.
So, again, this is set high, but I think...
So you're basically saying, will Iowa State's tight ends come within three quarters of the number of catches that they made a year ago? Sam Seenbuckner had 1 last year.
Okay.
So, that's 5. I'm trying to figure out if Dylan Sainer had 1, but he might not be in the...
I just have this feeling in the back of my mind that they're going to make a point of emphasis to get the tight ends more involved immediately.
Well, I definitely agree with that, but I don't know.
So, okay, would it have been better for me to set this one at over under 1.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did they have – I mean, I don't think that the tight ends had more than one catch in a game last year.
Mm-hmm.
If Chase had two catches in one game, I don't remember it.
No. I will go ahead and predict that I agree with your under assessment, but I do think that they come up with two. I think this is going to be the first game in a long time that Iowa State tight ends catch two balls.
I think that it's possible. It's much more possible for them to do this, to go over 2.5 this year than it has been mm-hmm. in previous seasons.
At least since EJ Bibbs was here.
Well, yeah. Yeah, when EJ was here, obviously they threw him the ball all the freaking time.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. I cannot find where Dylan Stainer is in this book, so I'm just going to quit.
Okay.
All right. But, yeah, I'm taking the under on that one.
All right. Over-under, 2.5 sacks for the Iowa State defense. And I will say, I looked it up, they had 26 total last year, so that's just a little over 2 a game.
South Dakota State football 2017. We're going to find out how many sacks South Dakota State gave up last year.
To the Google machine.
I know their quarterback was...
He's pretty mobile.
He's pretty mobile, so yep. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know.
He might be able to escape pressure even if they get it on him.
I want to know what the number of sacks they gave up last year was. That would be my cumulative season stats. Sacks by yards. They gave up 24 sacks.
Okay. So, again, that's about roughly 2 a game.
Yeah. They played 14 games, so that was a little bit different.
Maybe a little under them.
Mm-hmm.
But
and their 51-16 loss to James Madison to end the season, they gave up 5 sacks. So,
and I would say that generally I would think Iowa State's defensive line would be better than most every defensive line they faced last year.
Yeah. All right. Give me the over on that one then.
Okay. I agree with you. I think it'll be 3 or 4.
I think that Jaquan Bailey could have 2.5 sacks in just that game.
That's true. He could.
If he does, he'll move up to like 8th all time in sacks at Iowa State.
Yeah, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Last over-under I had. Over-under... 1.5 turnovers forced for the Iowa State defense.
So a 2. Mm-hmm. I'll take the over.
Okay.
They had 2 in like the first quarter last year.
Yeah, I think they had 2 Kamari Cotton-Moya interceptions, didn't they?
Had a Willie Harvey interception and a Kamari Cotton-Moya interception.
Right. That's right.
Like on back-to-back possessions for pick 6.
Yep.
Pick 6s.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go under. I think they're just going to get 1.
Okay.
But yeah, it's going to be a big one.
A big one. Why is there why will there be a big one in this game? Are you assuming that it will be close?
It'll be like a momentum changer, like early on in the game.
Okay.
Again, like kind of like last year's turnovers.
Yeah.
It kind of sets the tone for the rest of the game.
I think they got one other one though too. I think Brian Peavy had an interception as well.
Late in the game.
I don't know if it was late, but I think it was just like he jumped a route right on the sideline, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I think that was that game.
Might have been.
The games all run together.
All right. Well, that's all the
over-unders. That's all our over-unders. I think we both agree that they're going to win the game.
Absolutely. I was going to say earlier, I think my predicted margin of victory will be 17 points.
17 points. That's fair.
I think over-under is 14 in Vegas, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think 17 is about right. That's pretty good. That's like, I wouldn't be surprised to see it higher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they're going to cover. Like, I'm pretty confident on that one.
Yeah.
We should have brought back our lines. What was it that we did last year?
Was it overrated underdog or something like that?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
reverse
yeah.
Or something?
Yeah, underrated. Yeah.
Underrated?
I can't remember.
But we picked the teams that were...
it was like our underdog of the week, basically.
Yeah. We had to pick the underdog based on what Vegas's line is.
Yeah.
And I agree, we should bring
that back. Why didn't we bring that back?
I don't know. Maybe you could look up some lines real quick.
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's do that.
We'll do that in our last segment. No, we'll do hot and not first.
Okay.
We got to get back in the swing of things. And the second break
We're switching up the order here
a
little bit.
Getting everything all figured out again. Got to get back into mid-season mode.
So, yeah, do you want to roll through hot and not?
Yeah, we'll do hot and not real quick.
I don't think this group of hot and nots are going to take that long anyway. So.
No, probably not too long.
Okay.
All right, you can go first.
All right, so I kind of stole one that you could have used this week.
I actually was going to use that.
Were you? Yeah. I beat you to the punch. So, Busch Light came out today on Twitter and formally announced that this fall they will be rebranding themselves officially as Busch Latte.
I don't believe this. Like, I still...
Like, it's going to be on cans, dude. And I just must say that this is fully...
Have they, like, really confirmed this, or did they just put it out?
They tweeted it out. It's going to happen.
I don't care. Like, Yeah, okay. IHOP put out there that they're changing their name too, and that didn't happen.
I think they're going to print cans like this because they always do like the camo cans every year. How hard is it to push out a Busch Latte can?
I don't know, man. Like that's a lot. Like you're changing all of your cans for a period of time.
Okay, wouldn't you agree that like 75% at least of Busch Light drinkers probably call them Busch Lattes already?
I don't.
Really?
Personally, but. But
would you agree that there's a lot of people that drink Busch Light who call them that?
Like, I feel like if they were actually going to do this, they would have given you more details, you know? They gave no details at all. They tweeted out a picture and then put it on some shirts.
The official tweet says, Busch Latte is here. Well, it's actually just Busch Light, but we changed the name. Retweet if this is the only latte you'll be drinking this fall. And it looks so delicious. Like, the latte adds so much to it. It makes me actually want to drink one right now.
I'm not convinced, man. Like, I need to see it before I'm going to really be convinced.
All right. Well, once you see it, you'll have to say, I told you so.
Bushlight.com. I don't know if
it's,
this is a thing.
It's a full-fledged marketing thing, at least.
See, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I think this is just a marketing ploy.
Hey,
I think they're just like playing us on Twitter.
Again, they do the camo cans every year, and that's
it's not even
thing.
On their website, man. Like if it was on there, it's not even on the website.
Dude, it'll be there.
How
like, have you
how
okay, have it, you been to their Twitter like page in general? Like they've done more than one tweet about it.
I know, but why would they not change their website? Did you know there's such thing as Busch Ice?
I was aware of that actually. I'm actually shocked that we haven't.
Oh wait, we had it that time.
Yeah, I was gonna say we did.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, Got
like, they've changed their name on Twitter to Busch Latte.
They're just playing the game on Twitter, man.
No, man. These are
Yes, they
real.
Are.
They've got t-shirts, Busch Latte. Dude.
They see this as an opportunity to make money.
Face the facts.
They're not putting those cans out there.
They are.
Find me a case with those cans in them, and I will agree with you.
Okay.
Until then, I will not agree.
If I can find them this week, I will bring one to next week's podcast.
Okay. Let's make a bet on it then. What's okay. our bet?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You still never even paid up on your last bet.
I know. Okay, let's go double or nothing then.
All right, what was that one? Shotgun and Ice House.
So if I come back, I have to come back to next week's podcast with a Busch Latte branded can. Okay.
All right. Double or nothing?
Double
so I'd
or
have
nothing.
To do two if I lose? Or
no,
you
no, no.
Just have to do
I,
two?
I do nothing if I win.
Okay, so we just go back to even. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right.
There's basically no risk.
You're definitely not going to win this because even if they are real, they wouldn't be out by next week. So I hope you enjoyed shotgunning two ice houses. Mm,
okay, but here. Okay, so I must put in a stipulation.
No. It doesn't work that way.
All right. The bet's been made.
The bet is completed. The bet is done.
All right.
I'm going to hold you to it, too. I'll bring the ice house if you...
Okay. No matter what, you bring the ice house next week.
All right. I'll bring at least one.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. My hot this week is the Clarinda Cardinals. Won the Page County Super Bowl for the first time since 2015. Switched the offense. Went back to the old school I formation. 41 dive. Going straight ahead. 43 ISO. Pound it straight down their throats. Run the ball 40 times and wear everybody down. I don't remember what the final score was, but I know that they ran away with it in the second half, and it was very satisfying. Clarinda moved down to 1A this year. Now they went and beat the bigger school, Shenandoah.
So is Clarinda v. Shenandoah like the big rivalry for Clarinda?
Yeah. That's like I said, it's called the Page County Super Bowl. I mean, that's our cross-county rivals, 20 miles.
So
that's as big as it gets for us.
Generally, obviously you said for the first time since 2015, but generally does Shenandoah win more because they're the big school?
Well, no, they're really not the big school. They're basically the same size. They've been in the same district basically for as long as I can remember. But Clarinda dropped down. So
okay. That
was just because the class numbers changing.
I gotcha.
When I was in high school, Clarinda had won like, I want to say like 17 in a row.
Nice.
But I'm saying the trophy is back home. Order is restored in Page County. And that's all I needed to say.
So I have to ask, are you to the point yet where you like know nobody in high school or do you still know a few people?
Well, the kids that are like juniors were in fourth grade when I was a senior. Okay. And I know their names just because I was around them a lot because I was doing, you know, like I coached little kids track.
Yeah.
And I was... I spent a lot of time around their basketball program, the younger kids' basketball program, and working out with those kids and stuff like that. Mm. So, no, I still know a lot of them. I don't, you know, if I saw them, like, it'd be weird because they wouldn't look like what I would expect them to.
So, and you know them well enough that they would probably also know you.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Definitely would be like that. I mean, it's, like, I can go to the, we go play the Elite Center, which is, you know, obviously the Elite Center is in Ames, but there's also a Elite Center in Clarinda. And we go play there. And when I go back, me and my friends go back, we try and get all of them to go play basketball. Mm. And sometimes they want to play and sometimes they don't.
Nice.
But, yeah. So that's our, it's my Clarinda story for you today.
I like it.
What's your not?
All right, my not this week. Randomly saw this story in my Twitter feed. In Asia, not available in the United States, but in Asia, there apparently hot chicken wing and wasabi-flavored Oreos are a thing.
This is an awful idea.
I know, right? Like, those are two of the last flavor combinations, like, I would ever think to put in an Oreo.
No, yeah.
Like,
no,
it's up there with,
that's
like,
awful idea.
Horseradish and, like, cow manure, you know. Random stuff like that.
Maybe in Asia. I mean, I guess I've never been there.
I know that Asia in general has a lot more like quirky things like that.
Yeah.
But it's still astounding to me that that's even a thing.
It still seems like something that even people in Asia would look at and be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. I'm curious how for limited releases like this, how many do people just buy this to say they bought it and don't actually eat them, you know?
Probably a lot.
I would think.
Probably the same number of people that will buy these alleged cases of Bush Latte.
Oh, they're real.
And not drink them.
Hey, it's going to get me to buy one.
The same number of people that got firmly entrenched IPA and aren't going to drink it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those people who got the firmly entrenched IPA, like Tom Hyde, who friended the program, he's probably going to just keep his crowler and put it down in his man cave, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I know he didn't open it. I don't think he did.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
There were a lot of people. I was honestly surprised by how many people were opening them.
Really?
There was kegs of this beer.
That's the thing. Like, why not? If you're going to get a limited edition can, then you might as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of the point of the limited edition can. I mean, they still could have kept the can, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not like you can just reseal it or anything like that.
Yeah. And on one hand, like, hey, you don't want to waste good beer. But on the other hand, it's kind of cool to say, hey, this beer is still in this can.
Yeah. I mean, I know that eventually I'm going to get one. I didn't get one that day. But mine will not be opened. That's kind of the, to me, it's different. There's a different kind of sentimental value in it for me.
Yep.
All right. My not this week is Minnesota football. Did you hear about this?
Mm.
Let me read you a promotion that the Golden Gophers are running for this season. Buy 3 Red Baron pizzas, get 2 Gopher football tickets for free.
What? Wait.
For game options, their season opener against New Mexico State.
Okay.
Game 2 against Fresno State.
Okay.
Game 3 against Miami of Ohio.
Okay.
And a game that's like the last week of second to last week of the season that feels like it should be somewhat of a rivalry game against Northwestern.
Really?
So if you
buy 3 Red Baron pizzas, you can go see a Big Ten conference game.
And I don't know how much Red Baron pizza costs, but it's probably like
it's only $5. Yeah, because like a Jack's or Tombstone's is like $2 each max.
Yeah.
And then for like the high end Red Baron stuff, again, it has to be no more than $5.
3 Red Baron pizzas.
So basically, you can go to a game for $15.
Basically, yeah.
And you get pizza.
Yeah.
Wow, that's like.
So if you live in Minnesota and you want to go do something on a Saturday, besides watch the Cyclones, obviously.
So is this only in
Red Baron.
The Minneapolis, St. Paul, like area? Do you know?
This says,
or if you like show the receipt of any,
purchase any 3 Red Baron pizza products at participating stores from 8/19/18 to 8/23/18. But it doesn't say like what the participating stores are or anything like that. Here, I'm looking at the official rules now.
Okay.
No, it doesn't say anything here.
So participating stores only, though. So it could be like just in the Minneapolis area, or it could be in Minnesota. You don't really know.
Yeah, it doesn't. But it doesn't say like what the participating stores are.
Mm.
So I feel like it has to tell. Like it has to tell you what the participating stores are.
Yeah, I wonder if they have like displays up in those stores that it's easy to see.
Redemption is limited to 2 free tickets. Offer per 1 receipt detailing 3 purchased items. Unlimited entries per household are allowed. You could go and get, like, if you want to go buy 30 tickets, you get 30 pizzas, you get 20 tickets.
Say, so if you're like buying for like a function or something.
Oh, wait, apparently there's a maximum.
Oh, is there?
Apparently that kind of defeats the purpose of a.
So, well, maximum per person, because like per household is different than per person.
I'm looking. I don't know. I don't care anymore. I'm done.
But anyways, that's pretty desperate, if you ask me.
Yeah. The receipt with three Red Baron pizza items, good for two upper-level tickets, $20 each, approximate retail value.
Hmm. So the more you know.
So you pay $15 for $40 tickets, basically.
That's crazy. Yeah. I guess whatever gets fans in games. I didn't realize that they were having that much trouble getting fans to games. Like, yeah. I know the Vikings are a big deal up there, obviously, but I still think, you know, Minnesota football isn't like it's the bottom of the barrel or anything.
Well, I would think there would be more excitement about the team just with
PJ Fleck.
Having PJ Fleck, and
yeah,
apparently not.
Nope.
Row the boat. Not going very well.
Nope.
All right, we'll be right back on Stands and Fits.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, you know, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, you know, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back, Stands and Fits. Underrated Underdog. That's what we think the name of the thing that we did.
We have terrible memory. We're getting too old.
Yeah, we can't remember it all. I probably could go back and look at our documents.
Yeah. Who has the time for that?
Our considerably more extensive rundowns that we used to do that we didn't send out.
Yeah, they used to like I think they used to leak into the second page on the Google Doc, but now anymore it's just on the first page.
I feel like I can remember us having like 4-page ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, maybe.
I remember the first one we did, you scripted out everything you said.
Yeah. Well, that's because I was nervous as hell back then.
Yeah.
So.
And then I told you, yeah, don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Because you sound a little bit robotic and, you know.
No, it wasn't like that. I was just saying, I can tell that you're reading straight off the Google Doc.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't do that.
Well, again, yeah, exactly. Reading
sounds
robotic.
Much better now.
Yeah.
All right. Mine this week. Oh, we'll remind everyone, we're picking. Okay, we kept it to Power 5 teams.
Yeah, Power 5, and you're picking the underdogs to win outright.
Yes. So not just.
Not beat the spread.
Not just beat the spread.
Win
but,
the game.
But win outright. Mine this week, Northwestern on the road at Purdue. -1.5.
Okay. I know nothing about either team this year. I know that Purdue showed some life last year.
Yeah.
And obviously Northwestern is usually pretty solid. So I like that pick. That's a good one.
Who you got?
I have Michigan, who is picked to lose by 1 point at Notre Dame. So, again, we both kind of went with close matchups,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like Michigan's a good football program. They can beat Notre Dame on the road.
All right, I'm putting these in the – so we can remember.
That's a good idea. Have a running total kind
yeah,
of thing.
Because I remember we did that last year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we even had, like, our final records. All right, you had Michigan +1.
Yep. Notre Dame.
At Notre Dame.
Yep.
All right, there we go. We're done with that. That's on the record. If I remember correctly, we were both really bad at this last year.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it again just because we need to fill time.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. So
would you rather?
For would you rather this week, I'm kind of going off what you did last week. I found a site and I picked a couple on a site that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
So one's a little bit funny, one's a little bit more serious.
Okay, sounds good.
Would you like the funny or the serious one first?
Let's go with the funny.
Okay. Funny. Would you rather eat peanut butter flavored poo or poo flavored peanut butter?
Peanut butter flavored poo. I mean, obviously. Are you serious?
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's no question, but it's still, it's so funny to think about.
I mean, do I know? I know that it's peanut butter flavored, right?
Yeah. It's yeah, you know that it's peanut butter flavored.
I just pretend that it's a Reese's cup.
Yeah.
Or I mean some variation of it, you know?
Yeah. That's a good one. I like it.
That was goofy.
It is goofy. I told you it was funny.
Alright.
Now I'm looking for my serious one and all of a sudden I can't find it.
There's so many of these websites out there that give you like tons of would you rather questions, but they're all really awful.
Yeah. And I did.
Some of them are super messed up, dude. I'll read these things and I'm like, wow, who thought of that?
Oh, okay. Here it is. I found it. This is deep. You'll probably like this one.
Okay.
Would you rather be able to control your dreams or be able to control your destiny?
Oh, man.
So like you can like every time you go to sleep, you can lucid dream basically.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want in your dreams or control what you do like in your actual life.
I mean, I would definitely do destiny then.
Mm.
I have complete control of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely destiny then.
Yeah, I would think so too.
I mean, they would just like, I feel like you could make your life awesome.
That's true. Like in everything, it would actually be awesome. Like even if your dreams weren't awesome, your life would be awesome at least.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like if you did your dreams, then at least you could like do stuff that isn't necessarily possible in real life, you know?
Well, yeah, but they're still not real. They're still your dreams. They're still Fair. Happening in your head.
Yeah.
I want what's real.
That's true.
I want Okay. real, Fitzy.
Okay. I can respect that. All right. So I guess that's all the would you rathers I had this week.
All right. So we've been talking for 3 weeks about what we were going to do in place of bad beer this year. And we came up with the idea that we were going to drink a beer from the state where Iowa State's opponent that week is from. I went to the grocery store trying to find a beer from the state of South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
If there are beers from the state of South Dakota carried in the state of Iowa, it is not done in Ankeny.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
We've always had like tough luck finding beers we want in Ankeny for some reason.
Yeah. If there is like a specialty or like a major, like a big craft beer store, I want someone to let me know where it is because I feel like I would have better luck there. And as this season progresses, I think we're going to need to know about a place like that.
Mm.
And this is probably something that I should have tried to do like last week and not today.
Yeah. And again, like we've been to Cyclone Liquors in Ames before and like, you know, places like that. But even those places, like they carry a lot of beer, but not necessarily like too special.
I just want to make it clear that it wasn't me. I go to AJ's.
Okay.
Shout out to my guy, Ben.
There you go. But anyways,
now we're out here giving free advertising to liquor stores.
But you indicated Ames. on our document that you had called an audible.
So I called an audible in place of finding a beer from the state of South Dakota. I found a beer that's can is the same color as the Jackrabbits.
Oh, okay.
So that was the closest that I could get.
Oh, nice.
So today we are going to take a drink of Foster's.
All right.
Australian for beer. But today we're going to pretend it's from South Dakota.
I've never had Foster's.
This is the fattest can that I've ever seen in my entire life.
It is. Is that like 24 ounces or is that, what is it?
It is 25.4. That's a really random
So it's basically
number.
Like one of those big Bush Light ones.
Yeah.
What are they called? There's an official name
the
for
big
it.
One.
The big one.
Yeah.
That's right. But it's much fatter and shorter.
Over 125 years ago, during the summer of 1889, the Foster brothers gave the thirsty people of Melbourne their first taste of true refreshment.
Hey, aren't
Man,
Jack...
I feel bad for the people back then.
Aren't jackrabbits, like, in Australia, too? Or am I imagining things?
Are they? I feel like they
We
should
might
be.
Need to fact check that, but I feel like there should be jackrabbits in Australia.
And jackrabbits.
If they
desert
are...
Desert, USA.
Okay. Well, it's a desert thing. There's desert in Australia.
Yeah. Where are the southwestern deserts?
Well, hey.
Okay, well, that's not
Australia
right.
is southwest.
I don't want to know where they're at in California.
Southwest of the United States.
Come on, Wikipedia, help me out. Black-tailed jackrabbits is common hair of the western United States and Mexico.
Oh, man. So I was wrong. But hey.
I feel like there's probably more of them. More like other jackrabbits. Okay, here we go. We can find some more kinds.
All right.
Hair species are native to Africa, Eurasia, North America, and the Japanese archipelago. So they are not located in...
Wait. Okay, before we give up on this, Google search Australian jackrabbit.
Okay.
If you haven't yet.
Australian.
See what comes up.
Jackrabbit. Rabbits in Australia, Wikipedia.
Okay.
It doesn't appear... Wow, it's actually like really hurt the ecology in Australia. Since their introduction from Europe in the 19th century, the effect of rabbits on the ecology of Australia has been devastating. They're suspected of being the most significant known factor in species loss in Australia.
Whoa.
Rabbits are believed to have an immense impact on the abundance of natural resource availability, primarily concerning overgrazing. So not only did jackrabbits not live in Australia, but the rabbit population of Australia is out of control.
It is. Wow. You learn something new every day on the Stanza Fitz podcast.
All right. Well, we're going to drink Foster's now.
All right.
But like I said, this is a big can. I mean, you know, okay, so I've got big hands, you know.
Yeah.
I can't even come close to getting my hands around this can.
Yeah, there's a solid 3 inches between your finger there and your thumb.
If I saw anyone drinking this, I would be like, what is that? And I don't actually really want to know.
Yeah.
But this beer also lies because it's brewed in the United States. All right, here's my drink.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, that's really bad.
Is it?
Yeah, that's real bad.
Again, I never had Foster's. I didn't know if that we'd be like having a nostalgic throwback to the bad beer segment or not.
I feel like this very squarely fits in the bad beer category. I feel like my palate has adjusted, so like it's not near as shocking, but that beer is really bad.
Actually, I don't think it's that bad. I think it's bad. It's definitely like you're right. It falls in the bad beer spectrum. But I think if we were still rating on our old scale, I think that's near drinkable for me. Like I think I'm gonna rate that a 5.8 even on our scale, because I believe 6 was when we said like, oh hey, I drink that regularly.
Man, you remember that we never sent that guy the stuff we said we were gonna send him?
No. I did.
Oh, you did?
I did. Okay, so he shout out to William Smead is his name.
Okay. Shout out Will.
Stopped by his house last winter and dropped off a sixer of
a beer that we don't mention anymore.
Yes, the beer that shall not be named.
Yeah. Wow. Props to you. I didn't know that.
Yep. So it's kind of been fulfilled. Unfortunately, he wanted one kind of the beer that shall not be named, and then that beer was discontinued at that point.
Oh, okay. So we couldn't help him out.
So it wasn't fully fulfilled, but it was technically. So.
Well, there we go. At least we got that done.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep.
That actually reminds me, I need to send someone a t-shirt, but I'll have to do that sometime later.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. You got anything left to say?
Don't. It's a pretty solid podcast this week.
Yeah, it was. You know what next week is?
Hate week.
It's hate week.
Yep.
We got to do something fun.
Yeah, I think last year we kept it pretty light on Hate Week, but I think this year we might have to ramp it up a little bit.
I think that Iowa fans hate me a lot more now this year. I mean, at least based on...
Is that because you're being more sassy on Twitter or what?
It could be. It could be. Or I don't know if like my profile has risen a little bit to where it's like they are more aware of me.
Well, I know they all hate Chris Williams. So
yeah,
that you're Chris Williams...
They all hate like, Bloom.
...heir apparent, you know?
I just think that they don't like any of us very much.
Naturally.
So we might as well just throw some fuel on the fire at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man, for coming in.
No problem.
Beat the Jackrabbits.